Yes. Thank you, Pastor. Praise God. Church, praise God. All the whole thing that make you make the food interesting, you can't see any petty. Are you with me, sir? Good. Now, they remain like that in order to obey the doctrine of the church or the commandment of God that came through church. Then why is it that the church now freely allowed the men that are supposed to marry them here to always engage themselves in outside marriages? And the church wouldn't mind however those ladies coming in look like. Whether they are jaga-jaga or anyhow, our men can go and marry them and bring them here. So what is the church doing to make sure that since our sisters have been able to put themselves in the way it tallies with church doctrine, that the men will also be there without being numbered outside to be able to balance the question?
So let me ask you something, sir.
Oh yeah.
Why are you not yet married? And you are even overaged.
Yes. That's what I'm saying.
Why?
I said I never bothered to even marry because I have too much responsibility from one to another in where I come from.
Do you hope to get married?
Why not? Why not?
That is why eventually you have money.
Not all that.
Now,
when I balance the things surrounding me.
Listen. You know why I asked you this question?
I don't know.
I expected you to answer me is because I have not been able to see because of the addressing.
No, I didn't ask that question because of myself.
No, that is what you are. So you have to be talking for yourself now.
No.
Did any brother here say he has problem of getting identifying a single sister?
Yes.
You should speak for yourself. And especially that we know you are single now. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Can we go on now? Listen, church. Did you say you are a Christian?
Yes, I. By grace of God, I'm a Christian today. Better than yesterday, even. I am more.
Do you drink alcohol?
Not at all. Okay, I was drinking before.
Okay, let me go away. Because you are speaking, I saw a bottle of beer.
Where is it?
No, you say it's before, so it's okay.
Before.
It's okay. It's okay. Now, listen, brother. This is a Christian gathering. Listen very well. The problem with Christians is that we are followers of a faith that we refuse it to go with identity. The Muslims in the Arab nations, they dress and they cover all. And yet, they have their own way of identifying who is married and who is not married. We as Christians also, the problem we have is lack of identity. You don't have an appearance that portrays an identity, a Christian identity. It's only in this modern time Christianity that a true daughter of God will stand and a prostitute will stand and there will be no difference in their appearance. Now, we as Christians, it is not our flesh we advertise for marriage. It is our character. And that is what Peter was telling the women in 1 Peter chapter 3. Let's read it. From verse 1, 2, 3, 4. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by your character. The conversation of the wives. But conversation is character. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning your physical appearance that identifies you, let it not be that outward adorning of the way you make your hair, plaiting of hair, the type of bangles and gold that you wear, or putting on of apparel, the type of cloth you wear. But this is the identity of a Christian woman. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even see your ornament. The ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. What identifies you? If you go, your mother looks for a wife for you in the village, she's not looking at the woman's legs. She's not looking at the woman's bum bum. She's not looking at anything. She's looking at what? Character. What Christ is looking at his bride is character. When Eliezer went to pick a wife for his master's son Isaac, and when he got there with his 10 camels, the sign he gave that should be the one that will be the woman that will be Isaac's wife, he didn't say, "Lord, the one that I will see the fine leg and see her chest and see her bum bum and see her long hair, the first one I see with this appearance, let him be." What did he ask for? Character. The one that I will say, "Give me water to drink," and he will say, "Not only for you, even for your camels." He said, "Let that one be," because it's not easy to find a girl in a desert well to struggle and give water to 10 camels. Any girl that will do that is properly brought up. That is the one. It was character. As she was appearing, nearing to see Isaac, she never knew Isaac before, and he said, "Who is that man there?" As he came out of the field, you read it, Genesis chapter 24, 25. It says, immediately Eliezer said, "That is your husband." What did she do? She opened her leg. She showed her chest. What did she do? She veiled herself. She faced herself. Shamefacedness, humility, humbleness, respect, reverence before the man she had never met before. But because that is her husband, she respected. See, why Abraham loved what's her name? Sarah. Let's read that place, same place again. First Peter chapter 3. Go to verse 5. It says, "For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands." Verse 6. "Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him who? Calling him who? Lord. What was it that kept them together? It was her character. And she was so respectful, Abraham could not bring a competitor, could not marry a second wife. So it is not, we don't use our dress to attract men. It's prostitutes that do that. Christian brothers are attracted by character, not by the exposure of your body. And sisters make that mistake. All this body hug you wear is advert. You are the type that any woman that dresses that way, you go, they look, they look, they look, they look, they look. Especially when you are looking for a wife. You say, Bill, I say that this one I go like. Bill, I say that this one you go like. Bill, I say, that one, Asmodin, Mami Water Spirit, will finish you. Look for character. There is no daughter of God that is ugly. For God created us, and beauty is in the eye of the beholder. What you consider beauty, another person may detest it. Some people like Orobo 14:14. And some like Bengele. Skinny, tiny, like that one they like. Some men like tall women. Some like short. That's why I say, be yourself. Don't enhance your height. There is a man that is ordained for you, for your height. So that when he sees you, he will kill himself over you. Don't let anybody deceive you to go and starve so that you become thin. Slim. The people who are naturally slim, it goes with the beauty of slimness. And people who force themselves to be slim, you don't get slim, you get thin. You become thin and unattractive. And how long will you hold it? What is natural after some time, the thing where they do the slim, it will tire you. You go say, ah, wait, don't do. Then you go come back again. Be yourself. Praise the Lord. But keep yourself fit. The area that is exposed, your face and any other part, look beautiful. Sister, look beautiful. See, this hair you cover is only during service. When praying or prophesying, and it's a church service, your hair is part of your beauty. Leave your hair to grow long. Don't go and cut it. It will make you look like a man. Look like a woman. Be feminine. Don't act like a man. Walk like a lady. Talk like a lady. Act like a lady. Dance like a lady. Sing like a lady. And fight like a lady. Even laugh like a lady. Everything you do it, even eat like a lady. Anywhere you go, be a lady. Everywhere a lady, you walk like a man. Walk like a lady. Walk. Look, you are a queen. You are somebody's queen. Walk graciously. Talk graciously. Wherever you are, be a lady. These are the things that attract. Talk only when you are supposed to talk. talk like a lady. I emphasize it. Talk like a lady. And even worship, dance like a lady. Don't dance like a man, even in the church. Some of you dance like men. Praise the Lord. And dress like a lady. Clean your face. This hair that you say you go to saloon to scatter with chemical. I have ladies here. I even told a sister that maybe if she would spare some few minutes someday, I don't know if she can do that. To tell you, I was surprised to see that her hair was natural and she has long hair when we saw it. I don't know if she's here. Where is she? Amarachi. I was surprised when I saw it. Can you tell them what you do to your hair?
I use coconut oil and igbo.
Tell them how you use it.
And foul sheets, the shapala. If I get it, I will buy a sofa.
Sorry, where do you get it?
I used to buy it in saloon. Saloon people sell it.
In some saloons. Okay.
So if I buy it, I will buy this sofa 8. Natural sulfur 8, this thing. So I will add coconut oil. Then I will apply it. If I apply it, I will cover it like 30 minutes. And after 30 minutes, I will wash it. So that is how I normally do, like 3 times in a week. If your hair used to cut, it will stop cutting. If your hair is not growing, it will start growing. If your hair used to change color, it will start turning to black. That is what I use.
So you see? Don't go and chop the bow. It's coconut oil, and you can make coconut oil on your own. Very sick, very. You say, excuse me, Amarachi, you say foul shit. What do you mean foul shit? Remove it. Let the camera show her hair. Okay, she plaited it. That is why you can see. Everything there is natural. What do you do with foul shit? What do you mean foul shit?
Nshakbala.
It doesn't smell?
It does.
Okay, done for 30 minutes, then you wash it.
Wash it off.
Is there any cream you apply after all this?
Is that coconut and sulfur 8 cream?
You see, rub the coconut oil.
And sometimes, if your hair is cutting, you use the egg yolk. If you buy egg, break it.
Egg yolk, okay.
Yes, egg yolk. The inside of the egg. You will not feel comfortable, but it will help you.
But just for 30 minutes.
Then wash it with hot water. So go to poultry, buy sheets, fowl sheets.
You see what women go through to be beautiful. Fowl sheets. Beautiful. You may sit down, sir. You can sit down. We are finished with you. Yes? So, like I was saying, make sure that you take care of your skin. Make sure you take care of your face. An unhappy woman your face is affected. When you are not looking cheerful, you are not happy, every time you are sad, frown, and everything like that. But people, see, your beauty is enhanced when you are happy. You're smiling, you're laughing. And make sure you take care of your teeth, so that when you smile, the teeth, they shine. Yes?
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Please, I want to ask, if a brother should approach me, am I right to ask him of his previous relationship? As the first
everything.
Question.
Everything. In fact, his name, his village, his blood genotype, his walk, his height, his weight, his everything. Ask.
Thank you, sir.
Yes.
Please, if I should ask him and he's telling me that the girl said he's not going to marry him because of his stripe. Please, am I right to look for the girl?
Anything,
on my own self to
anything,
know what
anything you will do to confirm whatever he's telling you, whether it's truthful or not, do it. But you may call the girl and the girl may not cooperate with you. So what will you do?
Okay, sir. Thank you. Somebody came to someone and is telling the person about his previous relationship that the girl does not want to marry him because of his stripe. So he's my friend, he's my best person that I don't want.
No, it can even be you.
No, it's not me. It's okay, it is me. Praise the Lord. So I have to make the findings. But when we make the findings, we find out that what the guy was telling us was totally lie.
He's a liar. Will you want to marry a liar? Thank you. Thank you very much. But let me quickly make a comment on this. Listen. Sister, listen. He may lie to you, and the purpose may be because he wants to do everything to get you. So you also, there are some lies. If he lie to concerning, you found out that he has lied to you concerning his past relationship. What you do is, it's not enough just on that. You should continue the courtship further and confirm from the way he relates with you whether he's just a dishonest person or is only that particular lie about the past relationship. Yes?
Sorry, sir. I will not lie to you. In my kind of person, I will be shaking. No matter what he would do to me in the present time, I will still judge him of his past, of
now,
what I've heard about him.
Now, it will be wrong. A man can make mistake for any reason. He can love you so much, but he doesn't want to lose you. I know a sister in this church that got interest. A man got interested and she loved him. But God kept telling her that there is a confession he has to make to you, to the sister. The sister asked him, the Lord told me you have a confession to tell me. He said, no, I don't have anything. He denied it. According to her, three times, he said, one day, they closed from church and he entered her car. She entered his car to drop her as usual. He said on the way, the voice spoke to her again and then he turned and told him, park your car. They were still in courtship. He said, park. He said, you have something to confess to me. If you don't tell me now, I will come out of this car and that is the end. And the man broke down and started crying. And said, this is it. You are correct. This is the situation I found myself. I've lost three relationships because of this. I didn't want to tell you so that I will not lose you. She herself broke down and cried. I said, but you should have told me. Because God told me, you are my husband. That's why I agreed. You should have confessed this to me. You have this problem, and yet God says you are my husband. Then he will take care of it. We'll be praying over it together. So will you say, if it's you, you will say, she's a liar. You're a liar. You're a liar. Me, I can't take the me. I can't take me. I can't. Hey, you can't. You can't take. You be God. Even God, they take him. So be very careful so that that character will not make you lose your opportunities. There is no perfect person. There's no perfect person. But there are problems that can be dealt with. But if it's a perpetual liar, that's what I'm saying, then of course that's different. But it takes one lie to be able to get you. It's forgivable. So you now watch it to see there are other things you need to watch out for. And if it's okay by it, why? You continue with it. That's the truth. God bless you. Yes?
Thank you, sir. So my question is this. I just want to know the kind of things we need to discuss in courtship, because there are some things that will not be discussed during courtship, and once one settles down, those things might be problem.
Yes. And you have just answered yourself. Anything that will create problem after marriage, discuss it before the marriage. Simple.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Next person.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
Assuming that suitors are coming to a lady and her spirit keep rejecting them, and she prayed, and the thing insisted, please, what would the person do?
Continue prayers until the right person comes.
How will you know when the right person comes?
What are you praying for? What's your prayer point? It's what you ask, God will give you now. So when you see the thing where you ask, then that is the answer. Next.
Shalom, sir.
Shalom.
Sir, please, I want to ask, in courtship, if you offend someone and I offended my friend, and actually it was by mistake I actually offended him, and he decided to take revenge back on me. So, but after pleading for months, and yet he still insists on taking revenge, and he still took the revenge, and actually in that period of taking revenge, it actually caused the breakup, and that was how he went. So the thing keeps confusing me. That doesn't mean you can actually forgive in courtship, and still you still took revenge. So I was still wondering if because I was wondering, and I was talking to a friend. Doesn't mean if I actually got married to this guy and I offended him, and doesn't mean that's how he will keep on taking revenge on every little offense.
Let me be very sincere with you. He didn't love you. He was looking for opportunity to break it. And he got it, and he broke away. And you should rejoice that he has gone.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
He didn't love you.
Sir, another one. Is it possible for someone to be after you for years, years, and still coming? Is it possible for that? But even the girl in the girl is not still giving the guy attention, but yet the guy still comes and still comes for years and years. Is not just a year, 2 years, 3 years, or
as long as there is vacancy, the guy will continue to come. So let him continue to come until there is no vacancy.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, now. Yes. That's all. These three finish. Yes.
Thank you, sir, for this opportunity. Sir, there is something that is bothering me. Like, when you don't like a guy, and the guy is coming close to you.
Don't go out with guys, please. Don't go out with guys. It's guys that break people's hearts. It's guys that are not faithful. Go out with Christian brothers. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for the correction, sir. Like, when your brother is coming close to you and you don't love the brother, and you're still telling the brother that, I don't love you, leave me alone. And he always give you gifts. Sir, what will you do?
And you collect it. Praise the Lord. Now let me tell you, sister. You told him, I don't love you. So he decided to see whether you are saying it from your heart. That's why he gives you the gift, you collect. He goes, say, she doesn't mean it. That's why he keeps coming. So if you don't want him to come, reject his gift. And tell him, please, go with your gift.
But, sir, there is something like, when you try telling him, I don't want it, you will still pass it to my friend and bring it again. Yes. And he like offending my friend that, you are too stupid. I want to just
is a brother in this church?
No.
Okay.
He just wants to manage you. But you still bring a gift again, and if you say no,
I've told you, I said stop. It's not a gift. Stop it.
Thank you.
They tell you stop it, he too, he will stop. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Next person.
Good morning, sir.
God bless you.
Sir, the question I want to ask is it possible for a brother to have so many women around him? At the same time, have this girl she holds in a very high esteem.
I told you to stop going out with guys.
I said brother.
No, you said guy. Only guys will do that. Don't turn him to a brother. He's a guy. But with so many women around him. He's not a Christian.
Yes, he has so many women around him, but he has this particular woman, particular girl he loves so much.
I am telling you now, I say, if he has one already, what is he doing with the others?
He was like telling the girl not to bother, that she's the last girl standing.
Are you... you are around a womanizer, and... And it's deceiving. The same thing he's telling you. That's why he's telling every one of them. And you don't know. He's a womanizer. Run away from him. You will break your heart for nothing. Finally, you.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for this opportunity. What is the difference between man proposes and God approves? To God telling a brother or a sister not to choose anyhow person, but he will pick for him or her.
Are you reading from Bible?
I wrote the question so that I will not forget.
Yeah, read it again.
What is the difference between man proposes and God approves? To God
telling man propose. And God approved.
There is a thing like that.
And you are telling me what is the difference?
No. To God telling a brother or sister not to choose for him or herself, that because of he or she has a calling, that he will choose for the person. What's the difference between the two of them?
You have to ask God that one. Because you say God told you not to choose for yourself. So you ask him, why should I not choose for myself? I can't answer that now. Because you have put God into it. You say God is saying you should not choose, that he will choose for you. And so you wait for him now, let him choose for you.
If it came through a prophecy.
Oh, But you say God told you.
God told the prophet.
Since you know it is God that told the prophet, then why are you asking again?
Okay, the second question.
At least you are sure it's God that spoke.
The second question, if truly the brother or sister find that person and both of them are always having misunderstanding,
the one that God chose now,
yes,
through the prophet. The one that God chose through the prophet, now they have come together. You see, that is why I have told you, concerning marriage, don't go to any prophet. That prophet has arranged marriage.
Sir, the brother or the sister confirmed it severally. That's the question. That's what I've tried.
So go and ask God, who brought you people together, why are we having problem? I can't answer that question. Finish? No, do you understand? You see, anybody that comes to me and says, God told me, I stay aside. What do you want me to do? I have my Bible to counsel you with. And the best thing that can happen to you is for God to give you by himself. And God, you cannot ask for... Let's read it. How does it say? Luke chapter 11. Can you read it, sister?
Yes, sir. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent?
Oh yeah, all of you answer, will he do that? So how can God give you husband that you're going to fight every day? I said that God give you. God doesn't give that type of gift. Every gift from God is what? It's perfect. And he that findeth a wife, it's a good thing, and it's even a special favor God.
What I wanted to know is, could it be possible that brother or that sister is under manipulation of the enemy to block the marriage from happening? That's what I wanted
that
to
that God
know.
Gave you. The truth is, what if also, you are asking one question, what if? Let me give you another what if. What if that marriage was God giving you the idol of your heart, according to the Bible? You have already decided this is the man I will marry. The Bible says so. Is it Ezekiel 18? Chapter 18. Okay, it's chapter 14. Yes, it's chapter 14, verse 4. Even reading from verse 1. Then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, these men have set up their idols in their hearts and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his idols, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. And then he went, verse 6, Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent and turn yourself from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, of the stranger that sojourned in Israel, which separated himself from me, and set up his idols in his heart, and put in the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and coming to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself, and I will set my face against that man, I will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And verse 9. And if the prophet be deceived when he speaketh, when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet. And I preach a message that I titled Deceived by God. We are trying to let the people know that God can deceive. And I prove it by so many scriptures. When you already have made up your mind and you are coming to inquire from God, God will answer according to what you already have in your heart. Concerning marriage, you have already made up your mind. It's Guru Maharaj you will marry. Whether they like it or not, this man, then you are saying, but make a go inquire. Before you sit down, the prophet will say, the name of your husband is Guru. You say, hey, God has seen it. It's your heart desire he has given you. So what comes out of it, don't blame him. So it may not be manipulation.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you. I think we are okay now. Can we clap your hands? Put your hands together for the Lord.
Hello.
Don't air.
Good evening. Good evening. Okay, Shalom Church. My name is Sister Uchefi. Sister, I want to ask this question. You have a man and, okay, you don't have a man. He came to you that he wants to marry you, and all of a sudden he stopped calling you. He calls you only at night. But you keep calling him in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, and he calls you only at night. So what should the person do?
Uchechi, I hope I understood her question. He calls only in the night, and in the daytime she's the one that calls. She calls. She does more of the calling than the man calls. So in this case, what should she do? When you say, you see Western something, you see now phone call, now the great problem now. Yeah, you see what I talk about? Well, what if he's busy during the day and it's when he's free he calls at night? So, my other advice for you is be a little more patient with him. I really don't know. We have to find out, why does he not call you when he should call you? And why are you the only one calling? So I hope you are not the one that is pressing. And if the love is one-sided, then it doesn't work. The love should be mutual. Can we clap your hands? Put your hands together for the Lord.